Blog Talk Radio.
T-minus 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5. All three engines up and burning. 2, 1, 0, and lift off.
Coach on Fire Radio.
I am the
Hello, Sacred Rebels, and welcome. I'm Victoria Haffer, the host of Inspired Rebel Radio, a podcast where you get inspired to step outside the box, embrace your fears, and live your life as if the gate was left wide open. I am so excited to have a special guest today on the show, a true Sacred Rebel herself, Lisa Carter. Lisa is an equine body worker with multiple certifications with several different equine body work schools. She incorporates her knowledge and extensive experience with Pirelli Natural Horsemanship, equine body work, using essential oils for animals, and as a veterinary technician to provide her clients with the resources they need to make informed decisions for their horses. She encourages and facilitates network building between equine healthcare professionals working together to find the best combination of therapies to meet the needs of the whole horse. Lisa Carter, everyone. Lisa, are you there?
I am. Hi, Victoria. It's so glad to be here.
Hey, Lisa, thank you so much for coming out on your busy schedule. So excited to talk with you for the next hour. Why don't we start a little bit about sort of your background, like your background with horses and you know, how this calling came to you.
Wow, well, that's an amazing story because I never had horses growing up. I actually didn't get into horses until I was probably in my mid to late 30s. I had to live vicariously through all my friends for most of my life. But I've always loved horses. And, when I finally got my first horses, that was it. That was my bug. And I just had to find a way to make it my career. And so I set about, through the help of friends, getting into equine body work and just literally wrapping my entire career in some way, shape, or form around the horse industry. I was able to work with a Pirelli instructor here locally, and I've been working with her since she, about 2005, 2004, 2005. When I needed help with a couple of very young horses that were kind of troublemakers, I guess you could say, and having no training experience with horses, I needed help. And so I found the Pirelli program through that instructor, and it just really changed my life because through that kind of led into everything else, through the natural horsemanship and natural horse care and getting into body work. So in 2006, I got my first certification with equine body work through the Northwest School of Animal Massage. And, kind of felt like I had just still some missing pieces and found Dino Fredard out in California through some mutual friends and started taking classes with him. And that was just a huge eye-opener for me. That's where I was introduced to the concept of whole horse philosophy, where you look at the entire horse, not just through your discipline. You learn about how the hoof, dental, and body connection all fit together and can work with other professionals to better facilitate changes and promote balance in the horse. So, I learned probably more from Dino in the first 3 days I spent with him than in my entire time with the other school. So it was definitely an eye opener for me. It changed my whole perspective on how to work with horses. So it just kind of developed from there, and then I was introduced to the world of essential oils in 2012 through a business school that I was going to. And I was looking for natural products that I could put on my horse care blog, and it was a perfect fit. And I started delving into the world of, essential oils for horses and incorporating them into my body work sessions with horses, and just saw amazing results. And it just exploded. So, you know, I just kind of wrapped it all together, and just been continuing to go ever since, and now starting to do some classes and clinics, and looking at maybe traveling, making some road trips, and kind of see where it leads. You know, I'm just kind of following the breadcrumbs that God leaves for me, and you know, see where it takes me.
Yeah, that's so amazing. First of all, I just want to talk about the fact that you made a huge career change, like in your 30s, whatever that was, like mid 30s. I think so many people, you know, go through find a passion, and then they make every excuse in the world to not follow that passion, right? So I just want to give you kudos, right, to that. Because imagine if you had just put that off and listened to the excuse, you know, those excuses, those underlying, the negative self-talk that we have that kind of pops up for us for all those reasons.
Absolutely.
So that's
I set out many years ago to kind of work with horses, but on a different path, and kind of got sidetracked from that. You know, life gets in the way. You know, you have things come up and kind of take you on a different path. But I think, you know, along our journey, we're always offered little tracks back to that path. If we want to take them, you just have to be looking for them and willing to take those opportunities and kind of jump on them and not let that fear of the unknown overtake you. So, yeah,
right.
I definitely agree with that wholeheartedly.
That's awesome. So you talk about changing our perspective to a whole horse perspective and looking at our horses holistically, right? Coming to the realization that all systems of the horse affect each other, right? Everything cannot be addressed through one discipline alone. It's only through understanding the interrelation between the different systems of the horse that we can truly identify and address imbalances and illnesses in the horse, right? So we're talking about this whole mind, body, soul. So can you spend a little more time on that, Lisa, and just kind of what does this mean, and how can horse owners actually start to incorporate this kind of a philosophy into their riding, their, you know, just into their interactions with their horses, and then also in working with maintaining the, you know, homeostasis and balance with, you know, within the horse.
Sure. Well, I think one of my biggest frustrations when I first got into equine body work was I would have clients that, you know, I would go in and I'd work on these trouble areas, and they just always kept coming back over and over and over again, and I didn't understand why. And one of the things that I learned is, you know, as professionals, I think we tend to look at everything with tunnel vision and only through the perspective of our own discipline. And so, for example, if you have a horse that has an imbalance in the body, sometimes that might affect the way the feet are growing, the balance in the hooves. And the farrier comes in and he's trying, you know, with all his great knowledge to help balance that horse. But if there's something in the body that's affecting that hoof growth pattern, there's not really a whole lot they're going to be able to do about it. So they keep beating their head against the wall trying to tackle this issue. But if you don't bring the body work in, you're not going to be able to affect as great a change. And vice versa, if there's something, you know, going on with the trim or something in the hoof itself that affects a horse moves and compensates, there's not anything that I'm going to be able to do to help that if that other problem's not addressed. So you have to be able to look at all of the systems of the body, how they affect the whole of the individual. So, you know, the body, you know, as we know, is a very synergistic system. It's very complex. And, you know, you have to be open-minded and understand that inner relationship between the various parts of the body and how they affect each other.
Right.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, absolutely. So do you have like a recent experience that you've had with a very specific condition that you were able to, and again, we just want to make sure that we say that this isn't, this information is all educational, purely educational, and that we're not, telling people not to go and seek out veterinarian advice and get, expert opinions as far as that goes, but that a lot of this stuff can be complementary, right, to the, the therapeutic in conjunction with, other modalities,
right,
in keeping our horses preventative, hopefully on our end,
exactly,
so that they don't get to that point. So could you walk us through maybe a recent experience you've had with a very specific, something like, a chronic or acute lameness or laminitis or, some kind of common condition that we tend to, have our horses tend to experience on a regular basis that you use this whole horse philosophy, incorporating mind, body, and soul in the process that you were successful with?
Well, I think probably one of the most common things I encounter is imbalances in the feet mm-hmm. and the body that in conjunction with each other. So, everybody is really familiar with clubfoot. Clubfoot being one foot is more upright at a steeper angle than the other feet. Usually have limited extension on that limb. Which, kind of affects everything in the body. They have a harder time, with extension and maybe picking up a particular tanner lead, things like that. So one of the things I get a lot of pushback from the hoof care community is that when you have a horse that has one foot more upright, or club foot as they like to call it, you can't change it, that you have to do special shoeing. In order to help that horse, there's just no way to fix that. But if you look at it from the perspective of weight distribution, then the horse is not putting as much weight on that foot. Maybe he just out of habit likes to hold that leg back when it eats and puts more pressure on the toe, less on the heel, so it causes the heel to grow faster than the toe. And then what that does is it shortens all of the soft tissue on the back side of the leg. Mm-hmm. It's just taking up the slack, kind of like a horse being on high, they're on high heels.
Right.
So
sure.
What I do is I come in and I work the soft tissue that's being affected. It's being shortened, and show the owners how to do that basic technique of massaging the backside of the leg and coming in and doing extension stretches. Is you help facilitate those soft tissues on the backside of the leg to, again, stretch and relax and allow that heel to come back into a more normal position. So if you're doing this in conjunction with trimming a little bit more often, a little bit less amounts more often, and doing body work before every trim and in between, you can actually really help correct the issue significantly, sometimes not always 100%, but significantly correct the problem so that they're in a more balanced position. And I've seen it firsthand with my own eyes where, I've got pictures showing, the imbalance, showing the difference in the hoof growth patterns, and then coming in, doing the body work in conjunction with the hoof trimmer, and seeing significant improvement in those angles of the feet and improvement in extension and comfort level in that horse. They don't go lame after a trim anymore like they used to. And, just able to move much more comfortably. And I just heard so many stories of people taking that information, going with it, and getting back to me and saying, oh, my gosh, my horse is doing so much better. Their feet look almost normal now. And I never thought it would, ever go back to normal.
Yeah.
So that's one instance of, how body work can affect just great changes in a horse. And then another case that I had just come up just recently is someone contacted me about their horse was having stifle problems, you know, locking stifle and just having a hard time picking up their leads.
Hold on for a sec. Do me a favor. On
sure.
The stifle, explain a little bit more with what that exactly means, just in case there's any kind of new, you know, listeners to the equine world out there.
The stifle is the equivalent of the knee in the horse. So, you know, it's where the patella is on the back leg, mm-hmm. where the patella would be right above the hock. It's the joint above the hock. So, mm-hmm. It's the true knee on a horse.
Mm-hmm.
And what ends up happening is you end up with some imbalances in the body for whatever reason. And for stifles, usually when you have a weak stifle, you usually have a weak quadricep in return and tight on the inner thigh. And it's just the inner thigh pulls harder on the leg than the outer quadricep muscle, and so it pulls it in, and you end up with like cow-hocked horses and weak stifles, and it just causes problems for them. So by just taking a really simple technique of having the tail, holding the tail, standing beside the horse, and then holding the tail and gently putting pressure on the tail and asking that horse to shift its weight onto that leg, you're causing the quadricep muscle to contract by itself. It just has to contract because that's how the horse has to balance when you put pressure on the tail like that. And it's a passive exercise that you just do every day. And by doing that one exercise, this person said that their horse was completely well after that, never had any stifle problems after that.
I love it. And just for our listeners, you actually have that on video, what you just explained
yes.
to us, right?
If
they head over to your website, which is www.heavenlygatesequinemassage.com, Lisa has so much amazing information there. She's a wealth of knowledge, lots of blogs and videos and things you can have access to. That information in case they couldn't get the visual on the pulling of the tail and the shifting of the hip to one side. So I know that your videos have been really helpful for me. And as an anatomy teacher for the humans and as a chronic pain specialist for humans, it's just interesting how I'm able to shift so much of that information right into the equine world.
Right.
You know,
yeah.
like what you're talking about. So that's pretty cool. I love it. It's the same thing. I've worked with human clients that, you know, we're scheduled for surgery, and same thing where it's a, you know, an IT band syndrome or piriformis syndrome, and through working with the fascia, the myofascial system, and releasing that, and then allowing for the body to come back into, you know, optimal alignment, they actually didn't have to go and get surgery. So it's sort of
yes.
the same thing. It's sort of like, it's like, you know, addressing that, the whole body, the whole system, fascially and, you know, muscular, myofascially, and then seeing how the, you know, the bones kind of reset in the body, and how, you know, so we're creating space for them to heal themselves, right?
Exactly. That's correct. So many things are just, they're just basically imbalances in the body. And if you can bring the body back into proper alignment and, you know, equal on both sides,
right.
So that the body's not compensating anymore. It fixes so many things, and I'm always so floored that, you know, some of the fixes that are offered to them through the traditional, you know, Western medical community are, you know, cutting tendons and, you know, things like that, you know, surgically in order to fix these problems
mm-hmm.
that, you know, if you just do some body work, you probably,
That's right.
you know, won't have to go that route. And it's really sad because usually I'm who they come to as a last resort. You know, they've already done all these different things through their veterinarian or other horse care professionals that didn't work, and they come to me as a last resort and then, you know, find that there was just these really simple things that they could have implemented that would have saved them a lot of time and money, really, and a
Absolutely.
Lot of grief.
Absolutely.
So
listeners, if you guys are out there and you want to call in and ask Lisa a question, our phone number is 646-716-7979. We'd love to hear from you. So true. So you're an equine massage therapist. Most people would think, probably even chuckle, you know, when you say, you know, I'm a massage therapist for horses. Most people think that massage for humans is actually a luxury. So then when you talk about massaging horses, a lot of people don't really understand. So aside from everything else you just said, what are some of the major benefits of, you know, having your horse getting regular, you know, massage therapy?
Oh gosh, there's so many benefits. You know, increased range of motion, increased comfort level from, you know, pain and discomfort, sore muscles, increased circulation, improvement in emotional wellness. You know, imagine, you know, the bond that you create, you know, with your horse, providing them something that, you know, number one, it feels really good, and number two, when they're done, you know, some of the things that have been plaguing them for who knows how long are suddenly, you know, way, way less than what they used to be. You know, and plus learning yourself some simple ways that you can bond with your horse and help them feel better. I mean, these are things that, you know, a lot of the things I do are things that the horse owner, you the horse owner, can take care of yourself. You know, I just kind of facilitate the learning part of it and, you know, show the target areas. And, you know, once we establish that, these are things that people can do on their own. Right. So, you know, there's many, many benefits. And they don't have to be, you know, working horses. This is, you know, horses that, you know, your pasture pet. You know, maybe you have an older horse that, you know, it gets a little bit stiff and you know, just provide some comfort from that stiffness, you know, from arthritis or, you know, sore muscles and joints. So, you know, you don't have to have a working horse to have them benefit from these things. You know, they carry us around and, you know, they do it willingly. And I think giving them back a little bit in the way of some body work is a really small price to pay. So,
yeah. I mean, and a lot of times people don't realize most people think the horses is just either on the racetrack or just standing out in pasture eating grass, and not realizing that when horses are led to be in that space of their natural environment, that although they're mainly eating grass 18 hours a day, there's also a large portion of them, you know, running around and being playful and moving their bodies. And so many farms don't even have that kind of space, right? So they're in a tiny little stall,
right.
And then they bring the horse out, you know, maybe they have a little bit of pasture, but maybe even not, or they're just going out and, you know, they're doing lessons and they're, you know, constantly getting on the same side of the horse. And then they're, you know, maybe circling the same direction. And it's just, you know, the lack of balance can obviously be a big problem, right?
Right.
So,
exactly. Yeah. I mean, they, when you watch them play, just watch, if you've got a couple of horses,
yeah.
You know, watch how they play. Oh my gosh. You know, it's amazing. Well,
it's,
I mean,
so
your pasture pet is an athlete, whether you think
that's
of
right.
it as an athlete or not, because if you just go and watch them play and run, I mean, they are doing some amazing things with their bodies, and, you know, they stumble, they, you know, slip in the mud, and like you said, getting on the horse the same side every single time, or giving your horse, you know, basically chiropractic adjustments to the left all the time, you know, or, you know, things like, you know, laminitis come up, you know, body work can help with helping with comfort levels.
Talk a little bit about laminitis, what it is and what can be done to prevent it. It's funny, I was just actually doing a lot of research on this yesterday, so I'd love to hear your perspective.
Laminitis is a really complex issue, and there's actually a lot of factors involved that can cause it. The biggest one is the diet of the horse. That's the biggest factor, I think, that goes into laminitis. I think certain breeds are probably more prone to it. like, you know, my Arabs, you know, they tend to, you know, go to fat pretty easily because they were bred in, you know, for desert. They weren't bred to, you know, live on lush pastures. And unfortunately, the lifestyle that our horses tend to lead nowadays is, you know, the American lifestyle, you know, sitting around, not doing very much and just eating, you know, sweet feeds and sweet grass and all that sugar is not good for horses, right. Just like it's not good for us. So, yeah, so what ends up happening is the lamina that's in the hoof, it's in between the hoof wall, it encapsulates the bones within the hoof, it becomes really inflamed and it can separate from the hoof and cause rotation. It's a very painful condition. If you can imagine, you know, I don't know if you've ever smashed your fingernail, but gets
in a car door.
Yes.
Yeah.
All that swelling, it needs some place to go, and you've got a fingernail covering the top of it. So it's the same thing for the horse. That's how it can be that painful. And, you know, they there's a lot of different, you know, ways that it's treated, you know, special shoeing and giving pain meds and things like that, anti-inflammatory. You know, the biggest thing that you can do to prevent it is to not feed your horse all those sugary, high-carb feeds and, you know, just stick with a, you know, a hay diet. Keep them off of lush pastures and things like that. But as far as body work, if your horse does happen to develop the laminitis, you know, just doing the same simple technique that I mentioned before of massaging the back side of the leg and helping to stretch out those tight muscles on the back side of the leg can provide a lot of relief for horses with laminitis. Their legs get really sore and tight, and it kind of compounds it. It's like a, you know, a circular pattern. They don't want to put the weight on their feet, and they get really tight, and it just kind of progresses and gets worse and worse, and it puts a lot of pressure on that coffin bone. So what I do is, you know, I just massage the back of the leg, and I do those extension stretches to help relieve that pressure, and I've seen a lot of horses get relief with that, not to mention the fact that it also helps with improving the circulation and helping to reduce that inflammation a little bit in the legs and in the feet.
Super. Oh, that's so awesome. One of the main things that attracted me to you was your holistic approach to wellness and maintaining optimal well-being with the horses by using natural solutions that are practical, cost-effective, and yield actual results. So if you could talk to us a little bit about some ways that you can use things like, I don't know, coconut oil, apple cider vinegar, maybe essential oils with the horses, you know, different ways to do that on a preventative. I know, you know, if they cut themselves, right? Suddenly come in and they've got a big gash, and it could have been they whacked themselves in the barn, or maybe one horse bit another horse. You know, what do you use? And also fly spray, if you could talk a little bit about that, that would be great.
Well, there's there's a lot of stuff there.
Sorry.
Let me just take apple cider. I'll start with apple cider vinegar because I love apple cider vinegar.
Good. And my horses. Yeah, me too.
My horses love apple cider vinegar. Apple cider vinegar has wonderful properties in it. One of which is it has natural anti-inflammatory properties. So I give it to my horse that has sesamoiditis to help with some of the inflammation in his legs. And the other thing, it helps change the pH in our bodies and, you know, helps with your musculoskeletal system, helps with joints and things like that. One of the studies that I saw not too long ago was talking about how it can just really help with arthritis. So
yep.
I know a lot of people drink it. they drink it for those benefits. So,
you put it in the water? Because that's usually what I see people do, put it right in the water.
Yeah, you can add it to water. I'll put it on feed. I'll just put it on feed sometimes, but adding it to water is a great way to offer it. You just have to make sure that that's just not their only source of water, because if they don't like it, you know, they'll become dehydrated because they'll refuse to drink. So always offering it separate, like in a 5-gallon bucket, like right next to what they're going to be drinking.
Yeah, great.
That's a good way to offer it. I give it usually about 1 ounce, twice a day to my horses, just for overall wellness. And the other thing that I have noticed with the apple cider vinegar, as long as I'm giving it daily, they seem to be less appetizing to the flies. I'm not sure why that would be.
No, that is true. Because I'm going to tell you something. I explore it a lot with a mixture of things. And first, as I was talking about the fly spray, and I use a base of the apple cider vinegar. I do neem oil, apple cider vinegar, and then I add, you know, some essential oils. And I'll tell you, it works like a charm. So for whatever reason, like you said, it's almost like garlic, you know, keep the vampires away. But, you know, drink that apple cider vinegar and keep those flies away. So right there in itself. So, what do you think about, what about coconut oil? What has been your experience with using coconut oil with the horses?
I don't normally feed that one out, but I know a lot of people feed it out. It's really great for the skin. It has really good benefits for skin, nail, hair, things like that. So, you know, feeding it is a good thing. I've seen kind of some mixed reviews on, you know, using it for horses orally. A lot of people use it as a base for topical products. So, you know, making your own do-it-yourself things with essential oils and coconut oil is great.
Awesome.
Like things like lavender, frankincense, tea tree, which is the Melaleuca alternifolia, you know, products like that, rosemary, marjoram, put into a base of coconut oil. And you can use the fractionated coconut oil, which is the liquid form, so it stays liquid. Or, you know, the regular coconut oil. And use that as a topical product for skin health and for supporting the coat and mane and tail conditioning and things like that. So the rosemary and lavender are a really good combination to use for mane and tail. I really like using those too.
Yeah, I mean, it's really a wonder food if you think about it. I mean, as a holistic nutritionist, and I work with my human clients, and coconut is on the top of the list as far as cooking it and ingesting it and putting it in shakes and using it on your you know, as a moisturizer in your hair, like you just said. And so it's only going to be just as great in working with horses. So I love that.
And coconut oil is, you know, in and of itself has anti-inflammatory properties in it, you know, for both internal inflammation and external inflammation. So, you know, it's got good properties that way, you know, great for digestion. You know, gosh, I can't think of anything it's not good for.
No, it's true. It's really, it's like the miracle, you know, in the medicine basket for prevention, for sure, right? So we're talking a lot about essential oils, and I, you know, you and I both, we love our oils, and there's a lot of stuff out there. You know, if you could just talk a little bit about what are the different ways to use oils with horses, you know, from aromatherapy to applying them directly, you know, that kind of thing. If you could just chat a little bit about that, that would be great.
There is literally no bad way to use essential oils with horses. My horses absolutely love the essential oils. I have had the best results with horses. They respond so well to them. You know, you can visibly see the responses from them. They're just very expressive and willing to share openly their emotions. So, you know, the easiest, simplest way to use essential oils with horses is just via inhalation, you know, allowing them to smell it. Everybody, I think, is familiar with aromatherapy and how scents and smells can affect our moods and emotions, and the same applies for animals. The essential oil molecules are so tiny that they can actually cross the blood-brain barrier and interact with the emotional centers of our brain and affect great changes. And I actually have a video on my website of offering essential oils to my mare and showing the different responses and which oil she connects to. So certain oils horses will connect emotionally more to, and you'll know exactly which ones are the right ones to use for them. You know, they'll tell you, you know,
so
you'll see them.
Go ahead. I was just going to say, how do you know, like when a horse, you know, whips its head away versus how do you know that it's really working and it's something that they're, you know, needing in that moment?
Yeah. If it's something that they're connecting to, number one, they'll come to the oil, you know, I'll offer the oil out. I'll hold the bottle out or in my hand, you know, have the oil like rubbed into my hands and offer it out to them. They'll come to it. They'll inhale it deeply. You'll see them licking and chewing. They'll let a breath out. They'll sigh. They might snort. They'll drop their head. You'll see their eyes relax. I mean, it's really profound. You can really see the difference.
Yeah.
And when they aren't interested in oil, they usually, they'll just ignore it. They'll just turn their head the other way, or they just won't smell it at all. So it's very pronounced, the difference in the reaction to the oil. So you can offer it for emotional benefits. You know, if you have, you know, abused horses, if you work with horse rescue, aromatherapy is wonderful, helping to get those horses to clear out some of those negative memories and emotions. You know, physical benefits are just never ending. Essential oils can literally help benefit every single system, organ function of the body in some form or fashion. Obviously, for reasons of policy and procedure, I'm not allowed to name specific things, you know, but you know, I can talk about the systems of the body, and, you know, digestion is a really, really big concern when it comes to horses. You know, horses have very delicate digestive systems and are affected greatly by emotions and stress, you know, stress levels of their working life or their environment. And so, you know, doing things that help our horses' digestive systems or their immune system, you know, liver function, all those things, you know, are very important. You know, we want them to be able to clear things from their body. They're exposed to so many toxins out in their, you know, environment with our, you know, the fly sprays and warmers and things like that. So being able to offer things that help support the body systems instead of suppress them is a great benefit. I really like that. And the fact with essential oils, they're absorbed directly into the body's cells. They don't have to be digested in order to benefit the animal through the digestive system. They are absorbed directly into the body. So when you have horses that, you know, maybe their digestive systems are compromised, you know, if you're feeding out herbs or medicines and stuff, they may not be benefiting fully from bringing those into their body. So that's another reason I like to use essential oils.
That's awesome. And a lot of people don't realize with horses that, you know, in their natural state, that they're really meant to be grazing 18 hours per day. And then you put them in a very unnatural environment where they're getting fed twice a day, which, you know, we realize that one of the number one, I think, health issues are ulcers, right, in the gut. So because, like you were saying, the horse has a really delicate digestive system, and the horse can't even throw up. Like, I think a lot of people don't even know that, right? They're not able to throw up.
Right.
Yeah, so in helping, I mean, ideally, you want to feed them more often. That's the first step.
Yes.
But, you know, then there's certainly certain oils. I also heard through again, as a holistic nutritionist, cinnamon, we know that cinnamon, I mean, it's been proven to help stabilize blood sugar levels. So I've heard a lot of people who play with some cinnamon, although we know cinnamon is a very warming oil, so you want to be careful of that. But maybe adding that. Have you had any experience with using that with horses?
Yeah, there's a lot. There's several that help support normal blood sugar levels that are already within their healthy range. So, you know, there's oils that help support the endocrine system. The endocrine system is the key factor, you know, when it comes to, you know, hormones and metabolism and such. So when you have an endocrine system that's maybe a little bit out of balance, doing things that support the endocrine system. So there's special blends that are already created for that purpose, you know, or you can, you know, use singles like, you know, cinnamon and I think Ocotea is another one that is really good to support the body's natural blood sugar levels and the endocrine system as a whole. So, yeah, there's a couple horses that, you know, kind of tend to fat. Those are ones that can really benefit from oils like that that support the endocrine system.
Well, that's so awesome. That's so great. All right. Well, I'm going to shift gears a little bit. Move into another. Let's give out the phone number again before we move on. Anybody that wants to call and talk to Lisa, ask her some questions, we'd love to hear from you. 646-716-7979. So equine behavior, again, as a, you know, you were talking earlier, I actually work with a lot of rescue horses that have symptoms suggestive of PTSD and trauma, you know, from past events. And as I always say, you know, issues in their tissues. And I'm obsessed with herd mentality and like watching videos of wild bands out there and how they interact with each other. And so what happens a lot, you know, when, as you know, working with behavioral issues, I'm sure a lot with people is that they want to say that the horse is bad or a troublemaker or, you know, something to that effect. And usually we realize that there's other core issues that are actually that could come up, right, to take a look at and not just thinking that they just, you know, want to go against the wishes of their rider or their owner. So, yeah, if you'd like to take a few moments to kind of share your experience around, you know, working with horses and, you know, like different personality types and common misconceptions when addressing behavioral issues with horses.
Sure. Well, I think probably the classic example of a misunderstood horse is the crazy Arab. I own Arabs. I had a number of Arabs, and they're not crazy.
Awesome.
I think what happens, you know, my quarter horses, I think, act more like crazy Arabs sometimes than, you know, my Arabs ever do. And I think what ends up happening, you know, Arabs in general tend to be very sensitive. They're extremely sensitive. I call them the wolves of the horse world. Mm-hmm. They're very intelligent. They're super sensitive, and they take offense quickly. So when you're yelling at them, they're going to tell you, hey, you're yelling at me, and I'm not going to do what you say if you're yelling at me. And, you know, you see the classic, you know, horse swiping their head, you know, kind of like flipping their head at you.
Yep.
I mean, you see horses do that, and a lot of people think, oh, my gosh, that horse is crazy. Well, what he's doing when they do that is they're giving you the horse finger. So literally, when you see horses flipping their head like that, that's them saying, no.
Yeah, yeah. It's funny you say that because I've never thought of that before, but totally. I can remember every instance that I've seen that situation, and I'm like, you're absolutely right, Lisa.
Yeah. Being able to recognize, you know, the types of behaviors. You have, just like people, you have introverts and you have extroverts, and you have individuals that kind of live in the thinking moment. They really are very methodical in what they're going to do. They think it through and they follow through. And then you have the individuals that live in the emotional side of things and respond more instinctually, you know, and emotionally. They're not really thinking about it. It's just an instinct. They just react. They're more reactive, right? Mm-hmm. So it's the same thing for horses. And I love the Pirelli program because they're constantly learning, you know, and putting out new information all the time. And it's something that, you know, that they used to teach, you know, they realized that they were wrong in teaching it and they found a better way. They provide that. And when Linda Pirelli came out with the horsenality profiles, it was like key to everything for me. Because horses, you can't address everything with one simple strategy. Not every strategy, you know, that same strategy will work for every single horse. It's going to depend on their personality type. So if you have a horse that you have the left brain, the thinkers, and then the right brain, the emotional horses, if you have a left brain horse that's acting like a ding-dong, they're flipping their head at you and they're rearing up and you know, running away from you and they're acting scared. And I can vouch for this. I have one that does it and he doesn't want to do something. He acts like a ding dong because he thinks he won't be asked to do it. that is a left brain extrovert typically. And backing off and, you know, saying, oh, it's okay, you know, calm down, you know, and trying to get them to calm down by being calmer yourself, that doesn't work. That's just going to encourage behavior even more. They're like, oh, cool, that worked. They're not asking me to do what I didn't want to do. Right. Horses that are more emotional and fearful, that strategy might work for them. You might need to back off and come back to a place that they're more comfortable with, you know, kind of come back into their comfort zone. But with the left brain horses, that doesn't work. And so they're looking for a strong leader. And if you're, you know, just a mushy marshmallow, they're going to walk all over you and just do what they want. So being able to recognize those different personality types and using appropriate strategies for each personality type was just a huge eye-opener for me. And it opened a lot of doors when it came to, you know, doing aromatherapy, because if you can understand the underlying behaviors of, you know, the underlying factors in the behavior, you know, the motivation behind the behavior, you can better choose essential oils to offer for aromatherapy or a better strategy to use for a horse. So, you know, it's just huge. I mean, I can't stress it enough. You know, there's a lot of horse training programs out there that treat everything as a, you know, one size fits all. And it just doesn't work that way. You know, you can actually make your horse worse. You know, I've seen so many horses that come in to the Pirelli program through my mentor that I work with on the weekends. I see so many horses that trainers have said, oh, you need to put that horse down. You need to, you know, they're going to kill somebody. And they come in and it's just they were treated unfairly. The horse, you know, was completely misled. And
I see that all the time.
We come in and then deal with them appropriately with appropriate strategies and they're like the perfect horse now. So I've just seen it over and over again. And I wish more people would delve into the personality part of horses in its relation to training. It's huge.
Yeah, sure. So where can our listeners get more information about that? Do you have anything on your website about the four personalities or a blog or a video or any other link that you might be able to give out?
I personally don't on my own website. I have a couple of articles that deal a little bit with behavior that mention the personality types, but not in depth. The Pirelli website the best place to go to find out about personalities, and you can just go to Parelli.com, P-A-R-E-L-L-I.com, and just search personality, and there's a ton of information and videos and articles on the subject.
Mm-hmm. That's awesome. That's great. So a little switching gears, I always ask a few fun questions at the end of our interview. So did you like to read?
I do. When I have time, I used to have my face to a book constantly.
So do you have any like life-changing, inspiring books that, you know, perhaps when you were a young girl versus, you know, anything recent that you've read that has tickled your fancy and inspired you?
Well, I'd have to say the most life-changing book from my childhood that I can remember is the Black Stallion series. I read every single one of those from, you know, cover to cover. I had the whole series, and I can't even tell you how many times I read those books over and over. Multiple times, every single one of them, and it really sparked that passion to work with horses. I thought that one day I would be a jockey. I'm 5'8", 170 pounds, and you know, there's like no way in the world I'd ever be a jockey, right? But
sure.
But yeah, I really thought someday I was going to be a jockey.
I really
loved what Walter Farley did with that series, and how he really delved into the bond between the horse and the human there, and I really loved that. I cannot think of anything off the top of my head that I've read very recently.
Yeah, don't hurt yourself. I get it. I mean, the life of a cowgirl, getting out there and being with the horses at the crack of dawn and all of that, I'm sure you don't have a lot of time to read. That's all good. What about your favorite guilty pleasure?
Chocolate.
Any chocolate? Dark chocolate? Like chocolate chip cookies, ice cream, or just any?
Anything that contains chocolate in it, I adore. I love chocolate. I think my favorite thing in the world is like Snicker bars and Reese's peanut butter cups.
Okay. All right. Gotcha. If you could have lunch with a famous person alive or passed on, who would that be and why?
Oh my goodness.
Pick one. I mean, like rock star, I don't know, for me, you know, rock star, I don't know, Frank Sinatra, Oprah, you know, there's
Well, I think just because I've been inspired so much recently with my business, through my business and personal life, is probably Dani Johnson. I've been taking some of her trainings and gone to some of her events the last few months, and wow, that woman has a story to tell. And I really, really felt like a kindred spirit with her. Her story.
Lisa, who is she? Who is Dani Johnson?
Dani Johnson is a personal development trainer. She does trainings and teachings to help you with your business and your personal life and personal development. She does personal development training, wealth, debt reduction, you know, things like that. You know, help get your life back on track and with a purpose. And I just really like what she has to say. She's kind of no holds barred when she talks. She just says it like it is, and her story just really resonated with me. A lot of things that she said just really hit home for me with my own personal life and in business and things. And so I would just love to sit down with her and just ask her a million questions.
Well, good. We'll make it happen, right? Manifest it. So something you can tell us about yourself that nobody knows.
Gosh.
Or hardly anybody knows.
I'm a Trekkie. I love Star Trek. I grew up on Star Trek, and I'm a total Trekkie. I don't think many people know that.
Yeah, no, I did not know that. That's super cool. Top three things on your bucket list.
Top three things on my bucket list. Let's see. I would love to go to where my father was born, Italy. My father came from Italy. I would just love to be able to go to Italy and visit my family there. I have a lot of family there, so that would be one thing. Number two is taking my mare on a road trip of the national parks.
Wow.
And trail ride at the national parks where they let you trail ride. And going on a cattle drive.
Cattle?
A cattle drive, yeah. Cattle drive.
So you've never done that?
I have never done that. Yep. I've always be a lot of fun.
That's awesome.
Fun.
All right, we're going to hold space for you for all those things, Lisa. So if you want to share any last words of wisdom around the horse world and all this amazing information that we covered today, and also how our listeners can get in touch with you or work with you.
I guess the biggest thing that I would love to share and stress is that there are so many simple things that people can do to get involved with their horse's care, their daily care, and really take control and empower them to make better, more informed decisions for their horses. So, you know, knowledge is power. Seek out as many different modalities and professionals as you can to, you know, get opinions on different things, on different topics, and learn some of the simple techniques. You know, learn how to stretch your horse. You know, do basic stretching with your horse. Work with your professionals. Make sure that they talk to each other. You know, that's one big thing that that I find. You know, as equine professionals, you know, we kind of live in our own little world and we don't talk together. And, you know, it's really important as horse care professionals that we are able to discuss things for the best possible therapies for the horses. So, you know, if we can come together, it's always going to be best for the horse that way. So, you know, just empower yourself with knowledge. You know, don't be afraid to go out and search things out and learn new things.
Absolutely.
Keep an open mind.
Awesome. Oh, my God. What a pleasure today, Lisa Carter, to have you with us once again. I am your host, Victoria Haffer. You could reach me at victoriahaffer.com. Thank you for joining us on Inspired Rebel Radio, your place to be inspired to step outside the box, embrace your fears, and live your life as if the gate was left wide open. Live a sacred rebel life, fierce, adventurous, and free.
Thanks for having me, Victoria. It was a great pleasure.
Awesome, Lisa. Thanks, honey. I'll talk to you later.
Okay, bye.
I can do anything. I can reach any goal today. I can do what I want. I can be what I want to be.
Coach on Fire Radio.